Patrick Henningsen and TNT.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to TNT Today's News Talk. We're at the top of the hour into the third hour of this live broadcast. It's just cooling off a little bit, but I'm telling you, a couple of hours ago, you could fry an egg on the hood of your car in England. That's pretty unusual, but that's what it's like right now. Absolute scorcher in the UK and Europe. No doubt the climatists are going to be screaming, extreme weather, climate change. We need to what? Anything additional to what we're already doing? But anyway, so we might talk more about the climate issue next week. We don't have anything scheduled this week to dig into that, but we are going to hit that pretty hard again next week with some great experts and pundits on that subject. But right now, we're going to shift into what arguably are bigger issues, even bigger than foreign policy. Let's talk about, where is the human race right now in the 21st century? These are existential challenges that we are facing. We talk about government, we talk about civics, we're talking about philosophy and other things on the show, but where is the human race now in 2022? And I've got a very special guest on the line. He happens to be the author of The Emergency Transformation of Human Beings. His name is Jason Leosatos. He's joining us now. He's on the move. I believe he's speaking tonight at a special event in Stroud in England. And we're very pleased he's able to take a little time to join us this afternoon on TNT. Hello, Jason.
Hey, Patrick. How are you doing? Hello to everybody listening.
Hello, Jason. We're doing okay. So how are you doing? How are you doing right now? How's the world around you?
Well, my answer is the same each time people ask me how's things, and I'm okay. I'm trying to stay happy within as well as one can be in a global casino mental asylum, Patrick, which is accelerating as we speak towards further madness. And it's just incredible. I've just come away from a conversation with some children and their mother. I know we're probably not going to talk about this on the show, but it's very interesting that the little boy said to me, I got 30 kids in my class, and 17 of them are wanting to be, called, I forgot what it's even called now, but one of them wants to be identified as a blanket, and you've got to call him a blanket.
A blanket,
yeah. And we 17 out of the 30 kids in his class are identifying as the opposite sex.
Right. Okay. So, that's identifying as another gender or sex. Then you have people that are wanting to identify as animals, the furry movement. You probably heard of the furries. But a blanket, that's a new one, Jason. I haven't heard that before.
Yeah, as a blanket. I was talking yesterday, I had a great chat yesterday on the show with John O'Looney, who's a funeral director in the UK. Very, very interesting conversation. And we can go into that if you'd like. But, we can dot around. But, I was very shocked at what these kids were telling me, Patrick. And you can't say anything to them, because it's a little bit like the anti-Semitic movement now. You're not allowed to actually question anything they say. And, it's very worrying, very, very worrying indeed. My own wife, a friend of hers, a little boy, came home recently and said, "Oh, mummy, crying, mummy, I want to stay a boy," because they're saying in school, "No, you take your time. You take these puberty blockers, and you take your time to decide what gender you are. How about just pulling your trousers down and having a look, Patrick?" I'll just add something else here. In the newspaper recently, there was that big thing about a man has a baby, another man has a baby. It's not a man, it's a woman with a beard who's pregnant, and she was with a man who's identifying as a woman who got her pregnant. The madness is escalating, Patrick, and it's hold on tight for the ride of your life, ladies and gentlemen. Knuckles white.
No, that's confusing right there, what you just described. I'll call that an inverse fraction, to use a mathematical analogy. But the thing about what you just said that's the hardest thing, Jason, is that it's my view and my belief, and I'm sure I'm correct on this, that children of a certain age, let's say even anyone under the age of 18, they shouldn't be preoccupied with changing their gender. They should be preoccupied with learning things that they need in life, learning skills, learning how to communicate, learning how to play, to do sports, to study, to learn, to create things, crafts, other things like that, to write, to paint, to, you know, there's a number of things that they would be preoccupied with at that age. And it seems to me like they're being forced by a cadre of adults who have a very specific political or ideological agenda that I don't think has anything to do with what is important or a priority for children at that point in their life. It's a priority for certain types of adults that have been inculcated with these ideologies, but it shouldn't be a priority for children. Let kids be kids, Jason. What do you think about this?
Yeah, let kids be kids. Well, it's becoming more and more worrying. And as you know, I talk a lot about things like inflection points, you know, and lines in the sand and forks in the road. And to say that we're at one now is the understatement of the century, Patrick. And, you know, I mean, where we are now is extraordinary, extraordinary. And you only got to bounce back to Aaron Russo. I remember his lovely interview with I can't remember, but it was about his relationship with Nick Rockefeller. And Nick Rockefeller said to him, you know, we control everything, Aaron. Who do you think controls everything? You know, who do you think started the women's liberation movement, for instance? And Aaron said, the women, you know. And he said, no, we got the women into work. We got their kids into school. We control everything, and we're going to microchip humanity. So, you know, it's not good. It's not. And the other thing I want to say to people, it's not bad news what we're talking about here. It's very, very, I've said this before, Patrick, but it's exciting. When we talk about these things, don't see it as depressing. See it as very liberating and exciting, because once you start seeing how this whole thing's worked out and the trajectory we're on, purposely being the systems being obviously it's a controlled demolition to bring in what they want, you know, it's liberating because it makes you realize, well, I was right not to feel right. I was right to feel a bit depressed. I was right to feel desperate that something was wrong. And I always felt a bit weird, you know, when I was having to do the things I did and in this system of madness. You know, there's no doubt, you know, it really is. It's Earth's a virtual paradise, Patrick, you know, which is being turned into a virtual prison, literally. And that's great that we know that. We must realize that. And my work, as you know, is talking about both finding our magnificence and our happiness and our strength and our miraculous abilities again. Which is they're there. It's not something we have to try and get. It's something we've already got. We're also trying to highlight to people why they've been dislocated and dismembered from that in the first place, which is being born literally into a mental asylum, global casino mental asylum, which literally drives you stark raving mad. And I've just been with a therapist now who's doing work with people, and she said the escalation with people who want to commit suicide. And who are really depressed and going on antipsychotics and stuff is absolutely through the roof now, Patrick. Absolutely through the roof.
That's really sad. You know, especially children. This high increase rate of suicide with children. I can't help but think, Jason, in that there's things being input or brought into children's lives and heads that aren't natural, that don't naturally belong there, that are driving trends like that. It's not just that the world is becoming a whatever place. It's that there's people poking, prodding, and working on the heads of these kids that really, I don't think there shouldn't be any business of that going on. That, again, so that's to me one of the saddest things, to see child suicides. It's just too much.
Yeah, and what I mean, it's a strange place we're in, Patrick, you know. And you know, I always have these dichotomies, you know. It's like we're in a great place of I don't want the word awakening, but realizations about where we are and where we don't want to go. And at the same time, it's very depressing. So we're sort of in between two places at the moment. It's almost like we've got a foot on the sinking Titanic, as I've said before in my analogies, with psychotic captains just going forward towards these icebergs, and then another foot on lifeboats and building, trying to build new ways of thinking and living and being, independent, hopefully, of government control, like I've said many times. But what worries me, Patrick, is it's always, I was reading about it earlier on, it's always a case of overshoot and cut back. I love that. I was reading it here earlier on. And that's generally the way things go. It's overshoot, and then when things go wrong, then you sort of cut back, you know, and which is very, very unwise, you know. But this is what these blind people who are pushing us forward, literally predicated by short-term greed, power, and profit, above all else, above human freedom and happiness and joy. And not, it's worse than that, as people are finding out now, Patrick. It's worse than that. It's purposely done. I mean, that is horrific, the fact that it's being purposely done to shackle humanity. I've been horrified seeing these adverts on television about the line, you know, the Saudi, the 100 mile, I think, long wall. Mm-hmm. And people, you've seen that, and people are going to be living in those little, it's like an experimental thing for humanity. Again, you know, it's very worrying what's going on, Patrick. But I'm very excited as well, because I've been waiting for this point for a long time where people can't stand it anymore. And that feeling of a deep sense of uneasiness and pointlessness within people is the very thing that strangely enough, is going to be the fuel to bring them back towards that birth within themselves and a birth of a new humanity. And people I speak to a lot, Patrick, they can barely stand it now. Something is taking place. You know, I don't want to shoot off on spiritual realms here, but it's something more than flesh and body here, what we're talking about. People are feeling it deep within their psyches, deep within their persons. And I get people all the time saying to me, how do you feel? Do you feel it? It's like an it. What? That feeling of, I can barely stand this system anymore. And I, you know, you look at the old texts and stuff, like I think I mentioned the Sanskrit texts of the Hiranyagarbha and the golden embryo in the brain. I mentioned it to you yesterday. And it's almost like something taking place within people, you know, and something is happening. There's no doubt about it. And, you know, I know the stimulation is probably the shackles and the possibility of a real, real world of digital slavery, where you can't do anything unless you do the right thing or you're going to be switched off. But it's more than that. It's something else taking place, Patrick. We're at an amazing time to do our work as people who talk about these things, you know.
We're more than halfway there, and a lot of people sense it. Well, let's talk about the Great Awakening on the other side. I'm here with Jason Leosatos. He's an author. He's an activist. He's also a public speaker. He's speaking this evening at a public meeting in Stroud. We'll hear more about that event after the break and about the Great Awakening and what is it and what does Jason think that this is. I'm Patrick Henningsen, your host. You're listening to TNT, Today's News Talk. We'll be right back after these messages.
Politically Incorrect on TNT Radio.
Where we are in the state of Queensland in Australia, we've had a lot of news coming through about how wonderful the transparency is, how wonderful the integrity is of our own local government or state government, led by a woman by the name of Anastasia Palachuk. In our local newspaper, and I suspect that this happens in other parts of the world, there has been an inquiry by that body known as the Crime and Corruption Commission into the spending of money. It was originally an inquiry into misuse of funds, so I gather.
So what have we done? We've hidden it, haven't we?
As a matter of fact, the first court allowed that report to be published, which would have shown us what the allegations were. Now the Court of Appeal has said they don't have to. We're not told what the results of those inquiries are, and we're none the wiser. All we do know is that there are large amounts of money being spent at public expense on secret inquiries.
Nefarious activities, perhaps.
Politically Incorrect with Mike Tennessee and Richard Carson on Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you prevent wildfires.
Dude, I've got this. I've been camping since I was 5 years old.
But I am a camping influencer.
You know what? I'll bet you $5. Assistant Smokey, what is the best way to put out a campfire?
To put out a campfire, drown with water, stir, drown again. Then make sure the fire is out cold by feeling with the back of your hand.
Wait, really?
I'll take the $5.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Unlike other health concerns, mental illness is not always easy to see. depression won't show up on an eye chart, and you won't find PTSD by looking at a thermometer. Sorting out a mental health concern takes professional diagnosis and treatment. Anxiety won't just go away under a bandage. If you or a loved one has a mental health concern, call 1-800-662-HELP for free and confidential information and treatment referral. Learn more at samhsa.gov/support.
Government has taken our rights and will never give them back unless we make them. The voice of freedom is TNT Radio.
All right, welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to TNT Today's News Talk. I'm Patrick Henningsen, your host. We're cruising into the third hour of this live broadcast here in the United Kingdom. A scorcher, it's a heat wave. It's officially a heat wave and a drought. And among other things, we're grappling with some serious issues, not just politically, not just geopolitically, but on a human level. And to help us navigate this very complex and expansive area is author and activist Jason Leasatos. He's also the author of The Emergency Transformation of Human Beings. And check out his blog at jasonleasatos.com. And Jason, before the break, we mentioned, or the Great Awakening came up. What's your understanding of this concept, of this term? Do you believe that there is a Great Awakening? And if so, is it happening now? Is this an actual epoch unfolding before our eyes, or is this part of something bigger? Or just what are your thoughts on that?
Oh, it's a huge subject, Patrick, and I always say to people, I don't claim to be a highly qualified spiritual master or anything like that. And I'll tell you something, you can ask my wife if you did. You know, in my book, the first chapter is called, you know, The Birth of a New Epoch of Consciousness, you know. And I've said this on the show, I know, but just to remind people, the word epoch comes from the Greek word epoche, which means stoppage, actually. So, why I always mention that, Patrick, because when people say epoch, they think the new thing, but it actually means stoppage. And the way I use that as an analogy is that in all pregnancies, there comes a point where the pregnancy stops and the birth begins. And I truly believe, Patrick, we are there now as humans at that critical point in our evolution and consciousness that we're sort of being forced to prepare ourselves as quickly as possible now to let go of what we've been and embrace what we're becoming. And my exact writing is the emergence and resurgence of what we once were, which has become dangerously overdue. So it can be likened to an umbilical cord to ourselves, almost snapping completely, exacerbated by our system, which automatically dislocates us from our vibrant self. So I would say humanity is heavily pregnant with itself. But for millennia, Patrick, we've not really. There's been the people like Auspensky, Gurdjieff, and all these teachers and these spiritual teachers that have been here, I suppose, to help people remember. Auspensky's work was about self-remembering, you know, and that was very useful because it's bringing people back into that part of themselves that they've often forgotten about, and it's a pretty big statement to say, but probably the greatest threat to humanity at the moment is humanity's mind, because our mind is the problem. We've gone mad as a species, you know. We really have, and I'm not saying I'm not. I've gone mad as well, but I'm trying to do something about it. So back to what you first said about where are we? Is this the big awakening? Is this the biblical thing people talk about? And if you look at the pointers, look, I don't know if the Bible's true. It might be a big lie, you know. Let's be honest about it. I want to put this caveat in here, and I'll talk about the Quran and the Bible and all these other supposedly wise texts, prophetic texts from these wonderful saints that were here. You know, let's remember, it's very important. I know I'm going off on a tangent. They are still just words, Patrick. They're the theology. They're the intellectual overlay. Real religion or real reconnection or remembering is experiential. And it's something you feel, right? So people can often get stuck in the map of words. Look, we've got to read stuff. We've got to learn from people. But don't get stuck in the map. Don't get stuck on a guru. Don't get stuck worshiping someone, you know. In most of my talks, I'll say to people, look, don't put me on a pedestal. Ask that lady at the back, you know, the one that looks exhausted. That's my wife, Louise, you know. You know, so, but my point is, I think we are in that tremendous moment now in history not only is things pointing to it, but actually the race by those people, those unethical, unscrupulous ones in suits, the mafia, they are accelerating their suppression and they're closing the cage very fast. And in one sense, that's making people wake up and see things for what they are. And also it's surrounding us with a cage which we might not get out of. But consciousness can't be enclosed by a cage. This is the thing. And you know, when I talk in my book about, you know, living with ourselves, without ourselves is agony, for instance. You know, I talk about to live in this world and connected to our real essence is an amnesia, which is unbearable. And now I'm not being patronizing and saying people are stupid when I say that, Patrick. I'm just saying that we've floated so far away from our real selves now, yeah, from that magnificence and that telepathic, incredible, magical, those abilities that we've got, and most of all that power that we've got, to not be manipulated and caged like animals and manipulated through school to lose our spirits, our magnificent spirits as children. But it's unbearable. And that is a pointer for me, that people feel the agony now, the agony of spiritual homelessness almost, you know. So people more and more are searching for something more than what they feel. Going to work, coming home, paying bills, going to work, coming home, paying bills. And that is a fantastic time. Now, the thing is, the gates are closing, as me, myself and you have discussed many times. The digital slavery gates are closing. I completely believe that it's a controlled crash of the system. But, you know, people are, one of the other things I write and talk about, Patrick, is people are always looking for a reason to be happy, right? And that's beautiful. That's placed in us. It's a beautiful thing within us to always look for happiness. But the real goal is being happy without a reason, right? Carrying that thing that you feel inside you, that specialness, that oneness with you all the time. And because if you're only looking for things to make you happy, whether it's a better job, a better wife, a better husband, more money, a bigger car, generally those things are transient. They can be taken away. The real bliss that we all really want is freedom. My father had it. He used to sit by the beach all day, and he, you know, the emptiness of a pot for him was, the usefulness of a pot for him was in his emptiness. He would just sit there and be in bliss, right? And he knew there was things wrong in the world, you know. But, you know, I believe we've been homeless, and we've gone on this big map, and we've been dragged and pushed from pillar to post, by these, I would call them demonic entities, these people who are pushing people around and making people do these dreadful tasks and paying them just enough money so they come back to work next week. This is becoming more and more glaringly obvious now, and that's why I'm excited, because it's those things that we need back, those real values. And when sometimes only once they're taken away from us and pulls away from ourselves so dramatically, we feel that emptiness inside and we can barely stand it any longer. So yes, yeah, so I do believe there's a giant spiritual awakening, a giant amnesia. People are remembering. It's the great remembering. It's the great relocation. And when I used to do my talks before, I used to put a piece of string on each chair for people, and I used to ask them to tie it in knots when they first came in. They didn't know what I was doing, and I said, "Now try and untie it." We've been tied up in knots. It's the great unraveling, Patrick. It's here. It's here now. But it's the Lord of the Rings, really, and there's a race. Can we find our fantastic godliness again, our fantastic abilities, and then use them to create a great system? Because this earth is a paradise, and more and more our consciousness and our happiness and our magnificence is being eroded purposely, and that's a crime against humanity beyond any other crime of all. And you know, I think we all want to come back to that now. And that's why we're working with the Natural Earth Eco Living. Louise did a talk last week. We've got people want to sell their houses left, right, and center. People throwing money at us, basically, please create another way of living and being. I want to be with my family. I don't want to work all the time. I don't want to pay water bills. I don't want to pay these massive heating bills. I've been broken. I'm broken. I'm broken. I'm broken. And more and more we're hearing that. And people are, it's like a homecoming. Can it happen quick enough before it's total control with digital slavery? I don't know, but I do know that we've got to start right now. And everyone feels it, Patrick, on a very deep level. If they really
if they really concentrate, we can all feel that loss of the self. So I do believe that is a great homecoming, a great awakening, and a great return to something magnificent. And it's a huge subject.
Yes. Yeah. And I've heard other pundits, you know, they're sort of more on the kind of far out wing there. People like Cliff High have been talking about the Great Awakening for as long as I've been listening to, you know, his interviews and podcasts, and basically how it's hitting a crescendo right now. And there's nothing that the powers that be, as it were, can do to stop it. In other words, that they probably modeled the, you know, arc of resistance. You know, if you put down an authoritarian censorship regime and you press the thumb down on humanity, it's inevitable that there's going to be some kind of pushback or resistance that people are going to, you know, naturally gravitate or want more freedom. So the more you suffocate those things, the more the desire increases for people to want it. So at the end of the day, Jason, no matter what the powers that be do, you can't stop this great awakening, this great remembering that you're talking about. It's kind of an inevitable cycle, isn't it?
It is, and it's always predicated on, if you don't do this, you won't get that. If you don't get that, you can't do this. You know, and punishment and reward. It's always about that. You know, but I think people are even starting to transcend that now. I know people who can't pay their bills. Okay, well, I'm not, so I don't pay my bills. You know. And there's that thing people are saying, well, I'm not going to pay my bills, and we're all not going to pay our bills, you know. But most of the breaking free is a smelling salt, you know. And people always, like, for years, people have felt something was wrong. They couldn't just quite put their finger on it, you know. And I've said many times, seeing the slavery actually frees us from it, you know. And we mustn't get stuck in the old revolving doors of the old ways, you know, Patrick. And I'm very excited now. I gotta say, I really, really am. But what the problem is, Patrick, is what do people do? We can all talk about freedom and a spiritual revolution, and they are losing their grip. There's no doubt about it. But it's a case of now. People say to me many regularly, "Now what, then, Jason? You know, now what? Okay, now what do we do?" But that now what's a great question, because when you say now what can we do? What they're saying is we've been rendered so virtually helpless. There's nothing we can do. We're at the whim of what the next decision the government makes. You know, that we're at that whim, you know. But I truly believe that that's why they're trying to kill everyone off. I mean, look, I hate to talk about it. I didn't want to ask John Looney on the show last night. He's talked about it enough with too many people. But when you look at what's happening with him, he's a funeral undertaker. They're finding things in people, you know, and people, it's like he's saying it's a big kill off, you know, literally, you know. And Dr. Shirley Tempain and those people told me the same thing years ago. They did this, the big jibby jabby thing purposely to cull humanity. Now, look, there's a part of me, Patrick, who says, I really hope that's not true. I really do. I really hope that I'm just got these paranoid thoughts in my mind. But when you stack up the truth, and they hid the Pfizer trials and stuff like that, it's looking very worrying. You know, it is. But I truly believe there's something in people that can transcend almost anything, bodily as well. I mean, we can control our thoughts, not only thoughts, we can control the molecules of our body. So I believe that if we can tap back in, it sounds really a bit corny and spiritual, but if we can tap back in, into that midwife, that magnificence within ourselves, then I do believe that there is a birth of something wonderful. And sometimes the old thing's got to crash. And as you know, what worries me is when it crashes, that generally the same gang of criminals will put something else in place in the guise of freedom that people will grab and scream for. But not so many people anymore. You know, people want something new. And I truly believe that sometimes, even though it might not be able to be seen exactly what it is yet, just the longing and yearning for something can bring it into play, and that is coming. I see it coming now. There's people, a lot of people I know, it sounds ridiculous to say people are growing food, they're coming together, you know. People can hardly, you know, go for a drink together without arguing, you know. But when the is the fan, then people come together, they really do. And I'm speaking to more and more people now that you wouldn't expect to be talking about these things, Patrick, you know. And, you know, I look at GB News and it's filtering through, is. And but money's the thing. It keeps coming back to the money. Money is the problem, Patrick. You know, you can't blame the money. Money, it's the, what money does to people ethically compromise-wise. But you know, I truly believe we need a whole new system, Patrick, without this ethical compromise of money and what it makes people do and how it changes people, you know. And I was spoken to someone the other day. They said they knew a man who'd kill someone for a pound in a country. For a pound, Patrick, in a country they went to, you know. And but things are changing. It is exciting. It sounds like doom and gloom. My talk tonight's going to be quite an inspiring, uplifting talk. It's not going to be so much about the doom and gloom. I'm just going to try and remind people how magnificent they are, you know. People are amazing, Patrick. People are amazing beings, beautiful souls, you know. And I think people, they're not tapping into their potential, you know. And you know, people are not happy anymore, Patrick, you know. And it's a failed system, a system where people are generally miserable and anxious and taking tranquilizers. Honestly, it's not a good system. So, you know, as you know, my work is to remind people of that and to give people hope. Because in hypnotism, I think I told you this last time, in hypnotism, when you hypnotize someone and take away their future, they get really depressed, mm-hmm. you know. Yeah. And that is what's happening now. People's future, they don't see a bright future. So, you know, my job here is to help people to remember that they have got a bright future, but sometimes things have to get really shitty first, and it has to go pretty mad. You know, people have gone mad, you know, as a species, and that's good, because it probably needed to get that to that point of this is completely crazy. We can't go on like this, you know. And the government's being exposed more and more and more for what they do. I'm delighted for people like yourself as well, Patrick. You know, I remember meeting you in London when who was there? The great Ian Crane was there. Who else was there? The guy who was doing the Palestinian thing, Brian Geddish, was there, you know. And I met you people up there. I drove to London. I wanted to listen to you speak, you know. And I thought, oh, look, who are these guys, you know? And you were warning people back then that something's wrong, you know. And in those days, it was harder for you, you know. Nowadays, it's not such a conspiracy theory anymore. It's the truth, you know. So for people like yourself, it's a great time to be here, because, you know, people are, you know, I hear people talking about you, Patrick Anderson. Wow, you know, he's amazing. He's helped me so much and things like that. You know, you touch people, Patrick, because you're talking the truth, and it's got a perfume, and people are starving for the truth, you know. And it confirms for them when they listen to you and other people, it confirms for them that what they thought was right, they knew something was wrong all this time. And you say, oh my God, I wasn't wrong to feel, you know, really, really off kilter and depressed, and I knew something was up.
You know? Yeah, I think the audience that is open to having that kind of conversation is much bigger now. There's more people that are very much open, and like you said, like speaking openly about it rather than like in direct messages or in private conversation. It's now become more of an open conversation. So, you know, those of us who are, you know, operating in this information space, you know, there's more people that are open to hearing these ideas and not considering them to be fringe, but considering them to be more mainstream. And so, you know, that's a good, I think that's a good positive point to bring up, Jason. And I know that's one of the big things that, you know, that's also part of your mission is it's not just doom scrolling life, but, you know, giving people some kind of an uplifting message, or just reminding people of what is there, what we can pick up, the tools that we have at hand that we can immediately transform our lives, our situations. So yeah, I think that's a really important point. So certainly you're filling a important gap there in the market in terms of getting that message across.
Thanks, Patrick. And another thing, it can be so simple as well, you know. Words are quite, it's difficult to sometimes put things into words. Words are quite clumsy, you know. And often, like I said before about, you know, the word religion comes from the word relegare, which means to religament, to retie to what we've lost, really. Forget about, you know, Jesus, God, the Kaaba, you know, all the different texts. I truly believe it's more of a spiritual thing that people can feel inside themselves. And obviously you can get some amazing things happening outside yourself and within yourself to confirm that you're on the right path, if you like. But a lot of it's not words anymore, Patrick. I mean, you know, when I meet some people, it's like almost, you'll have, you almost need to say anything. Coming back to that thing you said, is that about, you know, is there this huge great awakening? It's almost like, it's a feeling that you can almost just look at someone. You know, it happens in the shop a lot. You look at someone and it's like, wow, you know, there's a sensing that we're almost coming home. And, you know, Pat, I've had amazing things happen to me. I told someone early on about this. I remember when I was, you get little messages on your journey if you're on the right path. I used to read some really heavy stuff years ago, mathematical and astrological. And one particular author I liked was Charles Mises. And I used to read his stuff and I needed a dictionary about every three paragraphs, not because he was trying to be clever, but because he was really, really digging deep, you know. And I remember one night I was in my father's house, I was flicking open the dictionary to each word I needed to look at. And I suddenly realized that every time I flicked the dictionary, it was about 3 inches thick, this dictionary. I was going exactly to the word that I was looking for. And it was like, hang on a minute, that's strange. And I did it again. And in the end, I almost felt a bit frightened. Something was happening, Patrick. I even put the book behind me and flicked it open behind me. It was 3 inches thick. And every time I pull it around in front of my eyes, and to my astonishment, I could see the exact word right in front of me that I was looking for. Now, I was so taken back by it. I went and woke my father up upstairs. And I said, Dad, I've got to tell you, something crazy is going on here. I want to ask you, what do you think? He said, perhaps it's just showing you that you're on the right path, you know. So we get these things happen to us. Someone told me there was a word for actually what that was. Someone listening to this will probably know. But what I'm saying is magic begins to happen, Patrick, when we start pointing our sails in the right direction. And I truly believe that was a moment for me of great clarification. And you couldn't do that. You couldn't do that. It was almost impossible that something was happening that was making that happen. And I could have done it 20 times and it happened, you know. Anyway, so after that, I started meeting other people and I had some amazing experiences. And so I was touched by something. It's a big subject, but you know, I feel that humanity's sails are now being forced to be set in that direction, back home towards that part of us that we've been bereaved from, really, by our rush and struggle to survive in a world gone mad of debt and fear and slavery. And because we're just setting our sails in that direction, all bets are off. I've had miracles happen to me, and I'm not a Christian or a Muslim or anything, but I've had some things happen to me, and it's like, wow. And I truly believe that's happening, and little coincidences are happening today. I've met these people, and she said the word's not a coincidence, is it? I said, no, the word comes from coinciding of events, not a coincidence, yeah. A coincidence, in fact. So that is on a more sort of lofty basis, if you like, that is what's happening now, because it has to happen, because there's forces that don't want people to be in touch with that part of themselves again. They don't want that to happen. It really is a battle on the planet now. It's good and evil, you know. It's the opposites, and I truly believe that we will see an amazing planet at some point. But, you know, my guest was saying last night, we almost need to stop these people, you know, literally, physically stop them, you know. And, well, perhaps they're exposing themselves so much that there's nowhere for them to hide anymore. And that's an exciting time, even though they ban people like us every day.
Oh, it is indeed. It is indeed. Now, I know we're gonna take a break here with the network, Jason. I don't know if you've got to go now or if you have a couple minutes to join us after the other side. But
I can stay a couple of minutes.
Yeah, yep. We'd love to have you just extend this conversation a little bit. There's a couple of things I want to ask you. I'm here with Jason Liasatos, and we're getting deep into some important issues, and we're going to continue this conversation on the other side. I'm Patrick Henningsen, your host. This is TNT Today's News Talk. We'll be right back.
The midterms and America votes on November 8th.
With his expert analysis and opinion,
this is TNT Radio's Timothy Shea.
In a shocking abuse of its substantial police power, FBI agents last night raided Mar-a-Lago, the Palm Beach estate and primary residence of President Donald J. Trump, looking for 15 boxes of documents that the president had brought with him from the White House in January 2021. These documents are not anything new. They've been the subject of negotiations between the Trump team and the DOJ for a year and a half now. So why was the warrant executed yesterday? Indeed, why was the warrant executed at all? It turns out that Attorney General Merrick Garland and FBI Director Christopher Wray were briefed before the raid was conducted. This has Americans of all political stripes outraged. If they can do it to a former president, they can do it to us. Maybe that's what the 87,000 new IRS agents are for. From MAGAInstitute.com, this is Timothy Shea for TNT Radio.
Oh, yeah, that's the stuff. Oh, I haven't been through the car wash in ages. My gears are all clogged up and my wheels are as stiff as boards. Oh, and you could do with driving me a little more sensibly. All that revving actually increases CO2 emissions. Changing gears at lower revs can save you money too. And they say us cars don't care about the environment. Honestly, I don't know why I bother. Oh, yes! Oh, just there. That's not...
Are you thinking what your car's thinking? Find out how to drive down your emissions and fuel costs by up to £120 a year at tfl.gov.uk.
When you need to know what's going on around the world and at home, keep it on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to TNT, today's News Talk. I'm Patrick Henningsen, your host. Thank you for rejoining us for the final segment of the final hour of this live broadcast here on this beautiful yet sunny and hot Thursday. We're on the southwest coast of the United Kingdom and very pleased to be joined by Jason Liasatos. He's among many things an author, an activist, also an artist as well. I forgot to mention earlier, a Renaissance man of sorts, but his book, The Emergency Transformation of Human Beings, I believe was released in 2012 or 2013. And that title hasn't gone out of style, Jason. It's still very relevant today.
Yeah, well, more and more as the years tick by, Patrick. I know it's a bit alarmist saying the word emergency, but it is an emergency. I believe, like I gave the analogy of the I don't even want to say it yet again, but I'm going to say it. I am. My favorite analogy of the baby chick pecking its way out of the egg. I mean, I'm sorry to say it again, but it's just so poignant, you know. When I say about an emergency, the baby chick pecks its way out of the egg because the poison's built inside the egg to the point which triggers the pecking. That's where we are as humanity right now. It's the perfect analogy. Because the poisons of suppression and slavery and lies and cheating and further debt and corruption and fuel prices, of heating prices going up, that is the pecking, the squashing and choking us to the point where we are all feeling that's part of the awakening. So we must no longer tolerate actually being forced to be dependent beggars and slaves to that system, you know, because this is what it is. We've been forced into slavery. You know, you don't come to this planet and they say, hey, look, you've got a choice. You go with this system, you know, have to work and pay bills, get a mortgage and pay for it till you're 70, or rent and struggle to buy food and pay bills and pay water. You've got a little meter outside your house and it ticks around when you open the tap and you've got to pay for water and food. I mean, a symbiotic intelligent being from another planet, they'd say, what? I look down at this planet, it looks like a paradise. You're paying for food, you're paying for water. Paying who? Well, the monsters that have put themselves between the teat of our mother's magnificence and abundance and put them in the way and said, now you pay us. It's almost like charging people for air. I've said it many times, Patrick. If they could, they'd have us with air tanks on our backs and putting quid coins in. We'd be gasping for air, begging on the street. It's absolutely unbelievable. And again, you know, I've said before, I think we're in a time of recovery. I've recovered from some horrible drugs, you know, and I truly believe it's a recovery now. Recovery, you know, recovery back to what we've lost. Because we've lost something and people feel it, you know. And I know it's a bit of a sweeping statement, but I used to cry when I used to listen to Martin Luther King, Patrick. You know, I used to listen to him in the night and cry, you know. Well, one of the reasons, because I was married to a black lady from Cape Town years ago, and we went through hell. You know, we used to have to live in a car because we couldn't get a place because she was black in Florida, believe it or not. But that's another story. But I truly believe, you look at Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, I've said it many times, and all these people fighting for the rights of the brown people and the black people. I believe that we're here now, and I feel that that is part of my work, really. You know, I think we're modern-day Martin Luther Kings, Patrick, because it's now the abolition of human slavery, complete. Not just black slavery. We're talking about the abolition of human slavery, because, guys, that is what it is. It's just that you were born into it. It feels normal. Don't get depressed about it. Don't. Don't get depressed about it at all. Be excited about it. And I've mentioned this many times, probably to you, Patrick. You know, one of my great mentors was very good friends with Gene Roddenberry, the creator of Star Trek. Very, very wise man. You know, both of them were very wise men. Gene was an amazing guy, apparently. And, you know, there was that Star Trek. Have a look at it. It's called The Cage. And it got to the point where Spock and Captain Kirk, they had them sort of in this glass cage. And Spock and Captain Kirk only used to have to think that they wanted to hurt them or think of escaping. And they'd choke them with a collar on their necks, an imaginary digital collar, if you like. And guys, listen, we're getting close to that, right? We're getting close to that. And it will be a case of, if you don't do what they say, they'll choke you digitally. They'll burn what's in your account. They'll cut you off. I mean, me and you were both in Cyprus. Remember, Patrick, outside the banks when they choked those poor Cypriots off with their money?
Mm-hmm.
And we were there interviewing people. And, well, what I want to say as well is about the Cypriots, it was amazing because they didn't seem to care that much. Why? Because they had that treasure, that happiness that people haven't got in this country a lot of the time. But, yeah, honestly, it sends a shudder through your body. That's where we're heading towards. We're heading towards total digital slavery. Now, what's the answer? Well, what I can see, team building. Team building is the answer. People are being forced together now, like a family, and that's what COVID did. It showed you who's your family. The people who didn't get jabbed, they're almost on your page, you know. It's like, aha, right. Now, of course, if I was government, I'd say, let's find out who the people who are causing problems in the world are. You just press a button and see who wasn't vaccinated, wouldn't you? Do you know what I mean? It's team building. People are coming together. Families are being built. You know, relationships are being made, which never would happen before. You know, and it's almost like, so it's a doorway almost back home. You know, it really is. And it's a fascinating time. It's a fascinating time, Patrick. You know, and we mustn't be beggars anymore. It's become normal. It's slavery, guys. That's what it is. And it's become normal. And people even say to me, how could it be any better, Jason? It's like, what, are you serious? Have we become so dumbed down and hopeless that we can't see a better world than this? God, you know.
No, that is a good analogy, that the chick pecking its way out of the shell because of the poison inside the egg, forcing itself to, you know, peck its way out. That's actually the, as you said, the perfect analogy, and obviously needs to be repeated, and people need to be reminded of that so they can, you know, actualize that image. But there's arguably, according to statistics, Jason, you've probably seen these stats as well, there's more slaves officially on the planet today than there were 150 years ago or 200 years ago at the supposed height of, you know, slavery in the old world, as it were. There's more on the planet today. So even that sort of extreme slavery, where you could say, call that actually slavery, is more now than before. So we haven't gotten past that. What you're talking about is extending that to even more people that don't know they're slaves, but are slaves. But officially, there are more slaves on the planet today than before. I don't know if you've seen that figure.
Yeah. I do it. I mean, how many people are on the planet at the moment, Patrick? What's the population? You'll know. I know.
It's just shy of 8 billion. It'll be okay. Something like 7.8 billion people, yeah, or something like that.
Well, I can tell people exactly how many slaves are on the planet now. It's 8 point something billion. Yeah. That's what it is. Yeah. You're born into prison. That's what it is. Now, okay. You could say, well, the prison warders, they're also slaves of their own system, really. So that's the thing with this thing. It's almost like they're destroying themselves in the process. But you can say 8 billion slaves, everyone who's born is a slave. They're born onto a slave planet. And it's not depressing, everybody. You've got to see the prison before you can escape it. Right now, okay, then you've got the Macrons and these lower level sort of people, you know, Merkel, blah blah blah, the guy in the Trudeau and the woman in New Zealand. They've apparently all been through Klaus Schwab school, you know, and really, this is not it's not an accident. This is the way it's worked out, and it's been the same for thousands of years. Except that years ago, many thousands of years ago, Patrick, if you moaned or complained or dared to expose them, well, it'd be off with your head, you know. And in a way, I almost admire the Saudis and those kinds of people more. It's like, we're the king, shut up, or we'll cut your head off, right? Now, here, it's a bit different. You know, you've got a choice. You vote for Boris, or you vote for someone else, or you vote for Richie Sunak or Liz Truss or whatever, you know. And you've got a choice, you know. But it's the same thing. Tomorrow morning, whoever gets in, it's still going to be slavery, guys, whether Liz Truss gives you a little bit off your heating bill or this or that. It's the same slavery with the same ilk. It's the same gangs of the most unscrupulous people on the planet each time doing the bidding and doing the controlling. And it's very basic common sense. But to see it is not depressing. It's very liberating, because then you'll know from when you were a kid in school, when you went into those jobs that you didn't want to do, paying those bills, getting your rent, getting your mortgage, the drudgery of everyday life, the pointlessness, the boredom, then you'll know that you were right to feel like that. Damn right you were to feel like that. However, as I said to you before, Patrick, there's a brilliant system inside each human being placed in there. Each person's got it. A brilliant capacity to endure suffering, boredom, and punishment. It's there for a reason, to keep you climbing mountains looking for food, to wait in a bush maybe till something goes past you can eat on a very basic level. But that's being taken terrible advantage of. So you should feel bored, you should feel pissed off, you should feel damn angry. Yeah, why? Because we're not free. You know, you get a bit of freedom. They don't give you, you know, it's not freedom. It's slavery, you know. We've got nothing to compare it to, Patrick. That's the problem, you know. You know, nothing to compare it to. But it's not right, and it's wrong. And it's going to stop. But I'm just worried that people will be dished some wonderful vision of freedom. And they'll be so desperate because they can't pay their bills. What this cabal will do is they'll make it so enticing. They'll say, well, I'll tell you what. Look, if you go digital, you hand it over to us, yeah, then guess what? All on your app or blah, blah, blah. Then what we'll do is we'll cancel your bills, your heating bills. And people will be gagging for it, Patrick, gagging for it, yeah. And, you know, it's incredible, Patrick, what's happened. And, it's not depressing. It's exciting. It's about time we saw it. Come on, everybody. But who wants to admit they've been tricked all their lives, Patrick? People are very proud and they've got a lot of pride. Don't tell me I've been tricked. Don't tell me I didn't see that I was a slave. Don't tell me I was a slave. How dare you? The slaves will gang up and kill you even, you know? They'll help hoist you up onto a cross or hoist you up onto a branch to be hung for daring to say such things, you know? But there's more and more people now. People get it. The awakening's here. The smelling salts is hitting more noses, you know. The amnesia is lifting. The chloroform is lifting. My God, we're in an amazing time. Amazing time, Patrick.
Yes, yes, and we are indeed. And, you know, you're part Greek yourself, so you understand the Greek language, and you rightly, you know, deconstructed a couple of words, like when I said epoch, you mentioned another one before this. Another one that's often misconstrued, of course, if you understand Latin and Greek, you'll know what the meaning of apocalypse is. And most people think apocalypse, they like it's Armageddon or the end of the world. But actually, if you break that down in Latin, it's, I believe, lifting of the veil. And that was the title of the talk that we met at, actually, I believe, in Covent Garden in 2013 or around there, 2012, 2013, lifting of the veil. And so the revealing what was once hidden. So that's a phenomenal Greek-Latin word. And we just got a minute left. We got 1 minute left, but I'll let you take it away, Jason.
Well, I'll read the chapter on my book called The People's Apocalypse for you, right? It's only a couple of paragraphs. the people's apocalypse. And so our eyelids were forced open and we remembered ourselves, and again we could hear our own beautiful song. The word apocalypse comes from the Greek word apokalypsis, which means lifting of the veil, and it can be seen as a revelation. That revelation is happening for everybody on the planet now, which is simply a disclosure of something which had stayed hidden from the majority of mankind in this era dominated by terrible fear and of falsehood and misconception. People's eyes are opening at different times, though the apocalypse of awakening is a fire which is being fanned in every person in varying intensities. Most people feel a deep emptiness and they know something is missing. They have been searching all their lives for something when they didn't know what it was, but they just knew they didn't have it. But now it is being gifted to them again, and the thin veil between who they thought they were and who they really are is lifting at last. We will embrace ourselves fully as the fear, falsehoods and misconceptions fall away from before us all, and we shall soar like an eagle to our highest selves again, and we will feel that lonely gap being closed as we meet with the love and reconnection, and dislocation is mended. We will finally bear our own unique fruit, and we will eat of ourselves, and our hunger will be no more, and we will feel what it was that we were searching for, which was with and with us, within us all the time. Last little paragraph.
No, Jason, we're going to cut top of the hour, but thank you very much. Thank you very much. Good luck, Jason Lasatos.